Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm supposed to see Gorillaz as of this recording in two days live, but I just got an email that says I have to work that day. So here's hoping I can get out just in time to get to that live show.
Will you buy some merch when you're there?
Of course I'm going to buy some merch. I'm going to be that fan that like wears merch to the show. I'm going to be that guy. I know. You should never be that guy.
I'm the same way. I go all in when I'm in. Everyone's got their thing.
Laugh long and prosper. I'm not giving up that joke because, yes, we have comedy and Star Trek. It is rare, but it is here, and we are so glad about it. I am one of your hosts today for this wonderful podcast, David Magadoff. With me is my most wonderful co-host, Claire Kramer. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, David. And I will always laugh at your laugh long and prosper. I think it's great, as is Star Trek Lower Decks. What a fun episode. And my favorite part of episode 8 was that it started, well, it starts with the battle of the triplets, you know, coming after the ship, but it really starts with the lines from one of the most famous memes in Star Trek, which comes from Next Generation, which is fire at will. And there's a very famous meme that is, you know, you're firing at Riker. So, you know, I immediately was like, they've done it again. They've put the inside jokes inside the jokes of the jokes. So I don't know, David, what did you like about this episode?
Oh, Mike McMahon, thank you so much. You know what? You can feel the extra Coke Zero in that joke, don't you?
Extra. More bubbles, please.
I love Sulu is in the episode, which is fun. I thought that was nice. I think that is exactly what you're saying. The joy of this show is it is unabashedly for the fans in the best possible way, in the way that I loved Arrested Development, and that I still remember watching Arrested Development for the very first time being like, oh, this was the first show I've ever seen where you can't just pick it up after it left off. Like, it's you had to watch the previous three episodes to understand what's going on here. And thusly got canceled after 2.5 seasons. But I think
maybe it went too far down the rabbit hole.
Maybe. But this one has thankfully, this one has decades to work with of inside jokes. And I just do love that you always want to see people that you know and jokes that you see, like you just said, appear. And so, yeah, Sulu coming around was great.
And they were going to Tadashore 9. Of course, we had Fred Tadashore on the podcast earlier talking about his love of, you know, the ocean and body surfing and water in general. So, yeah, it was packed full.
I do like the inside joke is literally, yeah, the inside joke of Tadashore 9 was literally the last name of one of your voice actors on the show.
Right.
That's good, though.
It seems a bit like Mike is just like, you know, Cerritos, and we've talked often about the, you know, the SoCal shout outs, you know, for the ships and the locations and whatnot. It kind of just seems like he's at a place where he's just like, yeah, whatever, just name it, you know, name it David Magadoff, name the ship, you know, Kramer, Maga Kramer.
You know? Oh, love it. Wouldn't it be great if we see in season 4, we see the USS Kramer and the USS Magadoff? Oh my gosh.
The USS Kramer is very underrated and underutilized.
No projecting
here.
Just
like to say, like, history shall not forget the name. USS Kramer.
And speaking of not underutilized, let's talk about maybe our incredibly wonderful, charming, and famous guest on today. You know him as Ensign Boimler, who also was Captain Dagger in this specific episode and the sort of fan fiction that happened. But we have on today Jack Quaid. You know Jack, not only as the most wonderful child of Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, but also from The Boys on Amazon. You know him from the latest Scream movie, which I loved, and I'll talk about that in a second. Batman The Long Halloween, the upcoming movie Oppenheimer, and of course, The Hunger Games. Guys, Jack Quaid loves so many things, but he spoke to us about his love of the band Gorillaz, which I also love too. So this was a very lovely day. But have you seen the new Scream movie, Claire, by chance?
It is not that I'm not interested, nor that I don't want to support Jack. I just have not seen it.
It is a treat. It is something that should not be good, and it was. It was a lovely time. He specifically was excellent in it. It was the sort of thing. He got the genre. He got what he needed to do. I don't want to say anything more or say anything less, but we've all seen...
I think the hip term, David, is he understood the assignment.
That's good,
what the kids
Claire.
Are saying out there nowadays. Yes, I love the Scream franchise. So despite, you know, we won't go down the role of, like, you know, Nev Campbell not returning and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I do like the franchise, so I will definitely be checking. And Jack, it was just the loveliest person in the entire world. Like, we had all these technical difficulties at the top of the episode, and he's like, eh, no big deal. Like, literally everything that could have gone wrong when you're remotely recording a podcast went wrong, and he just, like, went with the flow and was so gracious and cool. So this is a great episode, not only because Jack's great, not only because Gorillaz is a great band, but because, you know, it's the perfect storm of, you know, greatness. I'm just going to keep using that word.
And speaking of the perfect storm of greatness, one might even say this is going to now start to, if hopes and dreams can come true, not only has this been a campaign for Star Trek Lower Decks, is this starting to now shift into a campaign for all the Scream movies, since Jerry O'Connell was on earlier, star of Scream 2. Am I putting this out there in the universe? Are we going to start to get Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox? Is this going to transition into that? I don't know. I don't know, Claire, but I'm just saying it out loud. Wouldn't that be cool?
I am open to that.
All right, enjoy this episode.
Of Gorillaz greatness.
Did you think Clint Eastwood was a person, or did you just think Clint Eastwood was a song when you first knew about it?
Oh, that's such a good question. I knew of both of them, but I think my first exposure to... Yes, I knew that Clint Eastwood was a man, but I thought maybe he had more of a presence in the song. Then I came to realize, like, oh, it's just because it kind of sounds more or less like a Western movie kind of ballad, kind of like a Good, Bad, the Ugly kind of score, a Sergio Leone kind of score. But no, they actually have a few, like, Clint Eastwood references in their songs, right? Because there's another song called Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think my first exposure to Gorillaz was when I was, I don't even know how old, maybe like 8. I remember listening to the song, oh my God, of course, now I'm blanking on the name of it, but the I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. Like, their kind of first big major hit. I remember listening to it, and it was playing within a Blockbuster video. So that's like, that dates it. But yeah, no, that was kind of my first exposure to them. And I'm pretty sure, no, that is Clint Eastwood. What am I talking about? That literally is Clint Eastwood.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, that was... I remember being like pretty young and starting to get to know the band, and then ultimately realizing it was really just like one guy, you know, and I didn't...
Just one gorilla.
Yeah, it's not a gorilla, you know.
No Z.
It's Gorillaz. But I just thought it's so cool because it's essentially the perfect mixture of a musician and a visual artist. You know, they have the songs, but then they also have these characters who are in all the music videos, like... Yeah. They have names. They actually have like a storyline. It's cool.
So for people like me who are not as familiar with the band, give us a broad definition, you know, a high touch definition. And you just started getting into it, so I'm sorry I interrupted because you said like perfect music and visuals.
No, you're all good. You're all good. Please.
But what makes Gorillaz so special and amazing? And what exactly is it, if you had to define it?
Oh man, I just think that they're able to create such an interesting mood. Like they're able to. Okay, all right. I'll do more of a broad overview. Gorillaz is a. I guess I can say it's a band.
Gorillaz, I know. I'm with you.
It's a tough thing to define.
Is it a band or what is it? Isn't it great?
Yeah, I kind of love it. We can basically, because you were saying before we recorded that you're a big Britpop guy. You're a big Damon Albarn fan.
Yes.
And I'm not so much familiar with his early days. I'm not so much familiar with Blur. I know Song 2, basically. And I know that Blur was kind of in response to pop groups being a little too mainstream and a little too corporate for their liking at the time. So Damon Albarn basically created Gorillaz with this artist who I'm also blanking on the name of. I think it's Jamie. Do you know? Do you know David?
No, I'm not that smart.
He created this guy, Jamie. Oh man, I could be. I'm literally Googling it right now. Gorillaz.
That's what Google's there for.
Damon and. Because I want to.
I use Google to Google all my things.
Yeah, yeah. You got to use Google when you're on Google. You know what I mean? Jamie Hewlett. We said it at the same time.
Yes.
He is a
magical.
Yes. He basically is a visual artist. He created this very popular character named Tank Girl back in the day. That was him. And the two of them together basically created this group, this fictional group called Gorillaz. And they were kind of, I think in the beginning, supposed to be like a parody of Britpop in a way, where you could follow these characters and their lives throughout these albums. And each song kind of had a place in an overarching story that featured these four characters. It's 2D, Noodle, Russell, and Murdoch. And they go on these adventures. All of their songs kind of have a place within the overarching storyline, but they're also just really good songs. So the music videos are reflections of them as characters as much as they are like really great music videos. So I just think that that's so cool. Like I didn't know that this was all part of a story at first. Like I didn't find that out until very recently. Like it kind of combines everything I love about like animated TV or animated movies and music. It's just a really great, cool combination.
You know, you said your first exposure was like when you were 8 or 9, right?
Yeah.
So was this literally the first time that this sort of art form combination of like sensory things in one art form that you were, you know, is that the first time you were exposed to something like this?
It must have been because it didn't even really dawn on me how much of an undertaking this entire thing is until later. Like, and the fact that I haven't really seen a lot of stuff that's similar to it.
I don't think anything like this existed until he did it. I mean, or at least nothing at this popularity. It might have existed in a very underground kind of way, but Damon made it into this. I mean, these were Billboard chart hits, you know, that's the difference. It's pretty crazy.
And his face is almost never out there front and center, you know, maybe when they play live. But what was really cool was like back in the early days, they would do these. I've just looked it up on YouTube. They do these shows where they basically have like almost crude holograms of the Gorillaz playing their instruments, like where people are actually coming to see this fictional band. Like they would. There's these videos of people of them. I think it's a documentary called Bananas about kind of the earlier days of Gorillaz, and they're literally, there's a live band playing behind a screen, and the audience is watching something else.
So many double innuendos between the Bananas,
I know,
title of the documentary, and the Gorillaz, and I love it.
It's amazing.
I'm shocked that I have never heard of this group or this, like, it's almost like they're doing like pop-up art installations when they're having performances, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because you could kind of appreciate it just on like the songs alone, you know? Like we've all probably heard at least one Gorillaz song because like you said, David, they're chart toppers. This is when I realized I was a mega fan. They really hit for me in high school, particularly the album Plastic Beach, but I was like, oh, I'm really into this album. But when I found out I was a mega fan, it was actually recently. So This is how deep the rabbit hole goes. There was an album, a Gorillaz album that came out. I believe it's called The Now Now. It came out, I don't know, I want to say like maybe 5 years ago. And in the story of the Gorillaz, it's 2D, the lead singer of the Gorillaz, Damon Albarn's voice. It's 2D's solo album. But, you know, the rest of the Gorillaz characters are on it, except for Murdoch, who's the bassist. He's like the green guy. Sorry, this is just very weird, but I appreciated the detail. If you look at the characters on the album art, Murdoch is not in it. It's this other guy. It's another green guy, but it's definitely not Murdoch. And the person who it is, do you guys remember the show The Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you know the Gang Green Gang?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The leader of the Gang Green Gang replaced Murdoch in the album as the bassist because in the story, Murdoch is in prison. Like, what? That didn't need to be a thing, but it's a thing.
Right.
And it's like this cartoon universe that is all of a sudden coming alive through music. And I didn't even really realize that until I looked into it. But yeah, the leader of the Gang Green Gang replaced Murdoch in the boys. Sorry, not in the boys. In the Gorillaz. Sorry. That was such a stupid Freudian slip. In the Gorillaz.
Wait, what's
for
the
that
boys?
Album. I don't know. It's men when they're young.
Just some little show.
But yeah, it's that's how deep the rabbit hole goes, and it's so weird. It's so weird and cool to me.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So do they, okay, I'm still asking from like a novice point of view. I find that this era of music, like, you know, late 90s, 2000s on, before songs were released as singles, you know, really is when the classic structure of an album was really prominent.
Mm-hmm.
So did they structure their albums as a story? Were they going that far, or was it still a little bit piecemealed? And just tell me more about their writing process and the process of their releases.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't actually really know. I don't think I was like a person who really understood that concept when I was younger, when their first kind of hit albums were coming out. So for all I know, They were definitely trying to tell a story. I think they were. There's one album I know that Damon Albarn wrote as he was like touring around America and having like a particularly hard time in his life or something. That, you know, they were, I think they're all conceptual in one way or another, but the album, like I said before, that really hit me when I was in high school was Plastic Beach, because it created this, there was a story to it. To this day, I don't know what it is, but I know there is one. Like, if you really look into it, there is a story about them going to this island that you can kind of piece together through the artwork, through the music videos. And it was like a real sense of a mood and a particular, I don't know, it put you in a time and place. It really did transport you. And there's great songs on it. And there's songs that I, you know, like more than others, but it still puts you in the mood of the album. And I think the artwork really helps to absorb you further. But, you know, there's a song called Stylo from that album that had a music video that was essentially this car chase with Bruce Willis being in it at the end. There's Super Fast Jellyfish, which was like my favorite song for so long. It also exposed me. It was probably my first like foray into hip hop, because they just consistently throughout the Gorillaz, they just get amazing hip hop artists to come in and, you know, throw down a verse or two for a song. I like how eclectic it is. I love how it's a mixture of different styles as well. It's just so, so cool. But I think lately they started doing way more storytelling in their albums. There was something called Song Machine that just came out that I really liked. It was just them releasing kind of banger after banger during the pandemic. The pandemic hit like midway through and they kind of made it a part of the story and feel and mood. Not to overuse the word mood, but I think mood really does kind of capture what they do very, 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 very well.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, Beck, I know, was on the new Song Machine album. That was a great song. If I'm correct in this, Jack, and I really want to dive deeper into the whole mood stuff. I want to dive deep into why the heck you like it. Plastic Beach, that was the one with Melancholy Hill, right?
Yeah. Melancholy Hill is amazing. If I go on Spotify right now, I think Melancholy Hill is like, okay. Well, Feel Good Inc. is their number one song.
This is the question I have for you, Jack. It's funny that album is the one that made you realize you're a super fan, because the super popular album that just made them, you know, universally loved by the world was the Feel Good Inc. album. So it's funny that are you someone who was it almost too popular for you and you were like, yeah, whatever. And then, because no one's talking, you're like probably the only person who's like, Plastic Beach is what made this is a great album, but like it's almost like saying like, you know, two albums ago that Paul McCartney did was the reason why you love Paul McCartney. And it's like, you know, he did the Beatles.
Right. Yeah. I think for me, it's just that album came out just at a particular time in my life where I was like really discovering music. And for some reason or another, I think, you know, I have this friend, he's still one of my best friends. His name is Zach. He is a musician. And we were both, Jack and Zach, no one knew, we got mixed up all the time, but we were both collectively, the two of us, obsessed with the album just because we, I don't know, I think it was like the first album I ever like actually analyzed with a friend of mine and, you know, went song by song. I learned all the lyrics to Superfast Jellyfish. It just hit me at the exact, I don't know, just being in high school around that time. I'm linking it to like taking my SATs and like, you know, trying to get into a college. Maybe it hits me in a kind of nostalgic way at this point, you know?
It's so true with music though. It's like that different albums hit you at different moments in your life, you know? Mm-hmm. And the high school, as horrible as high school can be, and God, my daughter's starting it next year and I'm nervous for her and scared, but it's also like a really pure time because you don't have those adult responsibilities yet. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever other responsibilities, 90% of the time when you're in high school, you're not paying the bills. You're not having to like forge for food and, you know, shelter. Yeah. So it's just such a great time to immerse yourself in art and music. I'm not surprised that this hit you so hard then.
Yeah. And I think just like I said before, because it's so eclectic, it just exposed me to a lot of different kinds of music at the time. And then since then I went from liking them to loving them. And then since then I just like, every now and then try to go deeper down the rabbit hole. And like I said before we were recording, I'm supposed to see Gorillaz as of this recording in 2 days live, but I just got an email that says I have to work that day. So here's hoping I can get out just in time to get to that live show.
Will you buy some merch when you're there?
Of course I'm going to buy some merch. I'm going to be that fan that like wears merch to the show. I'm going to be that guy. I know. You should never be that guy.
I'm the same way. I go all in when I'm in.
Wait, Jack, who gets the tickets if you don't go?
Or do you sell other them? Cast members of the boys will get the tickets. The ones who aren't working, I will give it to them. I got four. So the good news is three other people are going no matter what. But whether I'm included or not, we'll see. And it would be my first time seeing them live. Despite how big of a fan I am, I've never seen them live. So would love to.
We need to call production for you.
You guys need to.
Look, Trevor, you know, let's get on that after this. Yeah, you got to go. I really want to go.
I'm going to try.
So let's say you have one of those extra tickets and you, I'm unable to go, even though you've invited me.
Yes, I've
but
invited
you. Still
you,
want
yes.
to introduce me to the band.
Yes.
Where would my entry point be? Like, where would you say, ooh, start here? Go listen to this first. Watch this.
Ooh. I mean, I guess, and David, if you want to help me out with this answer, it's a great question.
Feel Good Ink is your first. You
I think
it.
Feel Good Ink, right? Like you start there because that's kind of a pretty good, I don't know, kind of a, it's a litmus test for like, are you going to like their other stuff? Because it all kind of has this little air of sadness that I think probably appealed to me when I was like in high school. And I've never been anyone who's broody. But if I was ever broody, it was there, you know, even like the broodiest mm-hmm. version of me. It, you know, it has a hip hop verse in it. It just has an incredible like backbeat and the melody is incredible. Just I think that that's the place to start. And then you can get into the weeds if you want. But I think obviously I love Plastic Beach. Song Machine, I think, is a really fun newer thing that they've done that I think kind of even brought me back to being like a. Being very like aware of them. Yeah, no, I'd say start with Feel Good Ink though. That's a good call.
So my next question is, I still want to dive deeper because I love high school. For me is a major theme in all of these conversations. I feel like mm-hmm. we really form ourselves and our interests around that pubescent time, that 12, 13, 14 yeah. time. So you saying this is so awesome and confirming because that's also when I got into Britpop myself.
Yeah.
Like you said, you weren't super moody, but you keep talking about mood. Is music in general for you, not only just Gorillaz, like a way for you to express your emotions or feel your feelings?
Huge part of my life. Absolutely. It's a way for me to kind of express my emotions. I'd say process them. Listening to music has, I mean, especially around high school, I was still kind of figuring out who I was as like a music listener. I talked to I have littler siblings who are a lot younger than me. And I talked to them like, okay, who's your favorite band? And, you know, a lot of them are in high school or close to it and don't really know the answer to that question yet. And I realized I didn't really know it until later either. You know, some kids grow up and they like immediately know who their favorite bands are. And that's great. But I was never one to really figure that out. I'd been exposed to, you know, basically what my parents listened to in the cars when they would drive me around. But that was about it. And Gorillaz, I think, was maybe the first time, one of the first times I like found something on my own or through a friend or through someone my age. And I think, this is a very long rambling answer to say that, yeah, it did help me like process stuff. Music in general helps me. It helps me as an actor. Like I make a playlist for every character that I play. One of my favorite things to do is just to drive around or walk around listening to just whatever I feel like. I think it really does help me navigate through the world. Like it's a necessity for me in a lot of ways.
I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, Gorillaz kickstarted a lot of that. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think it's also really important. You mentioned your younger siblings, and I'm trying to do this. I mean, I'm sure my kids, there's bigger age difference between me and my kids and you and your younger siblings. But, you know, the way we process like content and music and entertainment nowadays is so different.
Absolutely,
with
yeah.
all the digital media, all the handheld devices, the iPads, the phones. It's not surprising to hear like they, you know, that generation doesn't really know their favorite band. They know a song.
Yeah.
They know, you know, possibly an artist. So the art of the album, like we were talking about earlier, and the art of like creating music, which is for me the takeaway of what this band has, you know, as someone who has not been exposed to them before, is so important for that younger generation. So I think you're doing good work out there, Jack, with those siblings.
Hopefully. I'm trying to, I don't know. I just wanted to ask them the question, but you know, I think really every now and then I'll like throw I'll be like, hey, you might like this song, but I know that that's cause it's a journey I took on my own. I know they have mm-hmm. to find it on their own. And I think that's what I loved about Gorillaz. Like I said before, is that I did find it on my own, or maybe it was Zach who was like, yeah, let's listen to this, or you should listen to this. But yeah, I, you know, it, for me, it was digital. It wasn't like a CD necessarily. It was like it was like an iTunes account or something. But now I've like bought most of their albums on vinyl or on Is that how people say it? On vinyl? I feel like people...
On vinyl, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I know, but I feel like I went to a record store and they were like, don't say vinyl.
Oh, or, no, I don't vinyl, know. I don't know what it is. I think vinyl's the classic. What else are you supposed to say? A record?
Yeah, I bought the records. Boring. Come on. Vinyl. Come on, vinyl. But yeah, it was fun. Anyway.
My question now is very important. Love interests. When you are wooing someone, is Gorillaz a part of this? Is it important to you that they like it, or are you do you not even speak to them if they do not respond?
No, I'm not. I don't think I'd be. I feel like at one point in my life I was like, oh man, if they don't like this, then no way. But then it's like, no, you can have different interests from someone. I don't hold anything against anybody when it comes to like taste, unless it's like something just so bad that I can't get into at all. Or like, they're like, I'm really into Alex Jones. I'll be like, I'll probably not talk to you.
Well, I have something to tell you.
No, it's never been. Yeah. Welcome to the Alex Jones podcast. We've tricked you. He's not here. He is having internet issues.
This is a joke.
This is all a big joke. No, I mean, it's a plus. If they're not as into it as me, I'm not going to hold that against them. And if they're not into them at all or have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm not going to hold that against them. But yeah, it's a plus if they're like, yeah, I'm into it. Sure. I'd love to go to a Gorillaz concert with you. That's nice. That's nice to hear.
That's a plus. Yeah. I see that as being a positive. Can you picture yourself in a song or album with them?
Ooh.
And what would that look like to you, Jack?
Like me in the song?
Yeah, like you, like get creative. Like
my voice.
Let's practice your pitch to them.
Would you have a character? Would you have a name? Would you have a look? Would you even be a person? Would you be an animal or a being or a computer?
I think so. There's a song that they did for that album, The Now Now. I forget exactly what the song is. I think it's I'm finding it right now. The song's called Humility. It's really good. The music video for that is just Jack Black on the Venice boardwalk. Occasionally interacting with animated characters, the animated Gorillaz characters. Like, he's not on the song. He's not a singer of the song. He's just in it sometimes. And I think that's, you know, I'm nowhere near as a big of a draw as a Jack Black. So I don't even know if they'd have me. But if I literally was just like myself in a music video and appeared in one, of course I'd do it. I'd do that in a heartbeat. That'd be a dream come true. So I'm putting that out into the universe.
Yeah.
Come on. Also, I will say this. Ben Mendelsohn, the actor, is like a voice in a lot of their songs, just kind of in between little things. If you just want my voice to say a thing, say a weird, cryptic line in between that echoes in between two songs, I'll do it. Done deal.
I love it. I think you should put that out there. It could happen.
Putting it out there.
I have moments where I think I'd love to meet Noel and Liam Gallagher, and then I have moments where I get scared because I feel like they will let me down or make fun of me, which is very possible. Do you want to meet Damon one day, or do you want to keep that relationship separate?
No, I'd love to meet him. Of course. I don't know. In my experience so far, you know, the phrase never meet your heroes. I think that is kind of true, but I've met a few of my heroes at this point and they've all been really great. I'd like to keep that streak going. I'm sure Damon's a lovely guy. Damon and Jamie, I'd love to meet them. Yeah, no questions asked. If not for like, even if the interaction sucked, I would still be like, well, I got to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it still wouldn't ruin like the experiences I had with their music or the, you know, any of that. I think it'd be perfect.
Let's put that. There's a lot of putting stuff out into the universe on this episode. But
yeah, this is a big The Secret heavy episode of your show. So thanks for indulging me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. It's awesome. Well, you know, David likes to end with the love letter, but there's also something else he likes to ask right before that. So, David, do you want to delve into your psychology 101?
Yeah, we did a little bit of it. If I, you know, put on my therapist hat, which, man, I wish my therapist...
It's a decent hat, Jack. Not good, not bad. It's riding right around a 50%.
I wish my therapist wore a hat, by the way. I should ask him to
do that. Honestly, I wish every therapist wore a big top hat. Mm-hmm. And a monocle.
That's how you could identify
them. I want them to look fancy.
The degree is not enough. So I'm curious, if you had to do some light pop psychology on yourself, what about the Gorillaz do you think is, I mean, you could have, like, I know you listened to it at 8 and it's influential and stuff, and it's definitely, you know, it connects a certain mood. You know, we're not asking for like family secrets or anything, but if you had to just like explain what that mood is, you know, because they do, they kind of run the gamut, don't they? It's not, I wouldn't say they're just all sad or just happy. There's a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
David's an interesting guy. What is it about his music that is really just responding to you, man?
Oh man. It's funny. It's something I don't even know if I could like quite communicate, but I think the closest way to do that would be Plastic Beach represented a time in my life where I was like living, you know, with my parents in LA. I had great friends. I still have these friends. Like, they're friends that, you know, for me, getting a little deep into me, you know, it's like I'm a child of divorce. So you kind of like, in a lot of ways, you have great family on both sides of that, but there is that kind of separation. What do you kind of fill that with? You have great friends. You have great friends that kind of become your family. They become kind of a found family. And I think Plastic Beach at that time was kind of the soundtrack to that found family and how important that was to me. So that's probably, to do a bit of top hat psychology, that's I think probably the core of it. And that's where the love started. And then it's good fucking music at the end of the day, you know. That's I think the core of why the music I respond to the music so much.
I love that. And honestly, I relate to that too, because Oasis was my Gorillaz, and I'm a child of divorce, and I think the fact that they're brothers and they stayed together for as long as they did, I think they were a family element to me as well. So I relate, man. I do.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. This has been an absolute delight of a podcast. You are a delight of a man. Can you please...
Thanks for having me on, guys. Sorry if I rambled about an animated band for too long.
No.
No, it's not. It's never long enough. We want, but you know what, Jack? We'll have you on again, and we can ramble a second time.
Oh,
about
yeah.
The same
there was another thing I could have rambled about today, and it's... we'll get to there.
It's definitely not Bar Rescue. Okay.
It's definitely not Bar Rescue.
Can you please regale us with a love letter to the band that you might see in a couple of days?
Of course. Thank you. Thank you, David. Dear Gorillaz, Jack Quaid here, longtime listener, first time writer. Thank you for getting me through junior year of high school. Thank you for raising my SAT scores, even though I probably can't prove that. Thank you for always being there for me in any, during any time of joy or sorrow. And thank you for making kick-ass music. I hope to see you in 2 days. Sincerely, Jack Quaid.
Woohoo!
All right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What a charming young man.
He's just a cool dude. I really enjoyed that episode, especially from the perspective of I didn't know anything about the band. I don't know how I've gotten to where I am in life without knowing, but I have. I'm an anomaly. I've been living on Mars. And now hearing his passion and like sort of the artistic aspects of Gorillaz, I really want to delve in and get to know their work, you know?
Wait, Claire, you're inspired to get into whatever the guest was talking about? This is a first, Claire.
You know, it's a genuine inspiration, though, David. It's not that I'm putting it on, you know? I will say this. We talked about Mike McMahon earlier with Coke Zero. I didn't go out and buy a case of Coke Zero. I didn't, you know? But many times I do get into the thing, and this is one of those times. So.
What's nice, Claire,
it
is
comes
you,
honestly to me, David.
Oh, I know. Claire, what's nice is you have in me a friend and a partner who will actually now send you like 5 Gorillaz songs. And that's such an easy thing. Like, unlike, you know, vintage jazz when Leonard Maltin was on, I don't have that as a background. And you're going to have to start plucking things away and Googling. But you have me to just throw it into your text message a few songs. So you're welcome that this is already...
Thank you. This is
an easier on-ramp of a hobby.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm also just fascinated, and I've brought this up whenever we talk about music on this podcast, I'm also fascinated with the distribution of music and as a musical artist and how that has changed over the last 3 decades. And I feel like we're at a very interesting turning point where the focus is shifting back a little bit from those singles to that storytelling, which is very much what, you know, I enjoy in an album or, you know, do you even say album anymore? A record, a drop, a release. So, you know, that fascinates me as well. When we talked a little bit with Jack about, you know, was there a message in these albums? Like, I think for me, when I'm listening to them for the first time, I'll be able to then report back to you guys and say, here's what I heard as a newbie. And then we can discuss it from that point of view.
What I loved about his love of Gorillaz was the exact same thing that related to me when I was getting into music during my pubescent years when my parents got divorced just like him. And so I think it was very sweet and sobering and connecting to know that, you know, I'm not alone. He's not alone. So many people, you know, in harder times when there's these, you know, traumatic moments, you know, we latch on to these stories. And Gorillaz had that vibe of like, hey, we're this group of family. Now, I get it. You know, it's a bunch of cartoon characters and made up people. But, you know, how many times have I read, you know, Harry Potter, you know, Wizard of Oz, and just, you know, we relate to these stories and thank God for them. So it's it gets us through these hard times. And I appreciate Jack's honesty in that. It was very honest and sweet and makes it all deeper and more worthwhile. This stuff that we keep bringing people on, having them talk about, huh?
Mm-hmm, definitely. I mean, there is that history, that lineage of the lineage of likes, David, shall we call it? You know, they're derivative from 90% of the time your youth, at least some facet of it. You know?
I think so. I think we're never completely separated from our past. And I think the more we embrace it, it's a better, more fuller life. And speaking of past, don't let this be the first podcast you listen to of ours. If you really want to appreciate and enjoy Fanatics, the podcast, we have many, many things in our past that can connect you to this, the future, the present. Do you like indoor malls? Good. Tony Hale loves them. Listen to that. Do you like cookbooks? Tiffany Thiessen. This was back in the day, all those year and a half ago. My gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
It's not possible, David, because I'm the same age.
That's right.
It's really weird. Every birthday, I just keep turning like 33 again. It's so bizarre.
And I'm younger. I don't know how it happened. Guys, thanks for listening to this darn thing. Liking, subscribing, sharing, all the things. We so appreciate anything verb that you do. At the very least, listen, because I know that's happening now because you're listening to us. We say thank you. And we look forward to you coming on back next Thursday for yet another wonderful episode.
Yes, adios. 2 more Star Trek Lower Decks episodes. So do not drop out. Be a completionist like us and like me. Bye-bye.
Before we let you guys go, let me tell you just a little bit about next week's episode. We are still going strong with Star Trek Lower Decks, as you can see on Paramount Plus every single week, season 3, and we have on the one, the only, Mariner herself, yes, Miss Tawny Newsom. You know her from so many things, like Star Trek Lower Decks, Space Force, Bajillion Dollar Properties, How It Ends, and of course the podcast, Star Trek The Pod Directive, and Yo, Is This Racist? And we get to talk with her about her love of hosting guests at her home. Yes, she loves to bring people to her big compound of delightfulness in the desert, and you guys get to hear all about it. And listen up next Thursday. Thank you much. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, F-A-N-A-D-D-I-C-T-S. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Jack Quaid is happy. He's feeling glad. He's got sunshine in a bag. He's not useless. No, not for long. His future is coming on, 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 is coming on.
David.
Yeah.
Get it.
Oh, okay.
You're good.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.